Hi, everyone. We're so happy that you're joining us for another episode of the Future Ready Librarian podcast series, Leading from the Library. And I'm so excited today because I get to welcome my friend Adam to the show. How you doing, Adam?
I am doing great, and I am so excited to be here. It's so funny. I told one of my media specialists today, I had a brief meeting with her, what I was going to be doing. And she's like, oh my gosh, I wish I could be you. You get to talk to Shannon. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm chopped liver, but you know.
Join us. I love that. That's awesome. Tell everybody a little bit about what your role is and why I invited you on the show today.
Currently my role is the Director of Technology and Media Services for the Newton County School District in Covington, Georgia. And with that, you know, of course, self-explanatory, the technology piece, I have the wires and pliers, the instructional technology, but I also have the pleasure of serving as the director, if you will, for library media services in my school system as well. So something that I really love that I get to do that kind of takes a break from all the administrative tech stuff, where I get to really work with the library media specialist and really help. You know, it's just so special that group because they get to work with students of all backgrounds and really have that love of literature versus, and also the technology and also the maker spaces. So many areas that we get to really do in the Library Learning Commons that I'm just really excited about.
Yeah, I think I always say I have the best job in school because you get to do so many things. And so you're lucky to get to do that too. How many librarians do you have under you? I can't remember.
We have a total of 23 that we have in our space. So we're lucky where every one of our schools has a library, learning commons, and a media specialist in each one. Because I know in some states they have to split between different locations and some don't have them. So I'm a huge advocate to making sure that every school has a library media center or learning commons and a person, if not two, in that space.
Yeah, I think that is essential. You know, that is one thing that is so, I remember when I was younger and I don't really even remember our library. And I always think like how different it would be for me if I had like this great space to go to and a great person or people to talk to and just that community that is built in the library.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And I was at one session and the speaker said the media center is like the Isle of Misfit Toys. I was like, what? But you know, when he kind of took offense to that, but then when he started explaining that, you know, everybody gets the opportunity to find what they need in that space, and was, you know, tying it into the whole you know, Rudolph and how, oh, you had this and that, and you know, you can find that thing that you're missing in the library learning commons. I was like, okay, now again, now I'm not offended, but at first I was like, what?
I know we had the pleasure of just hearing from you in August when we did our Future Ready Librarian Summit, and your keynote was so great because you talked about library spaces and what we can do to create those spaces for all of our kids. And I think that that's something today that I really wanted you to touch on more. And now that we're in the situation that we're in, like our library, we've been in school since the second week of August and our library just opened today, but open meaning that, you know, it's very limited to what we can do, but at least we can get books into the hands of the kids. And not only to hear from you a little bit about creating those spaces, but also when our spaces aren't open, like what can we do too? We would love to hear what your librarians are doing and how you guys are facing those things as well.
You know, first I have to give kudos to the team that I get the pleasure to give direction to, because you know, you wouldn't take the time to talk to me on the podcast without the team that I have behind me, because I would be sitting here with all these ideas without the people to make it happen. You know, and they give me feedback, so it's not just me coming up with this stuff. They're like, hey Adam, I'm thinking about this, what do you think? And then I'm like, okay, that's a good idea, let me see what I can do to kind of put a spin on it and get people behind it. So, you know, giving direction to a program is nothing without the people to make it happen. So I have an amazing group that I get to lead. I have to say that, you know, first and foremost. But, you know, it's one thing that's really important to keep in mind as we start this school year. You know, yes, there's tons of buzzwords and phrases that we're hearing, you know, the new normal and you know, social distancing and you know, all these things that we throw out there. But we look at our spaces that we've created. And one of the things that I said in my keynote that I tell my team all the time, I should be able to see your school by looking at your collection. It should be a true reflection of the population that you get to serve, because your collection is probably going to be in the building at different times longer than you will be in some cases. So the kids, the community should see themselves within your collection. And it shouldn't be the media specialist collection. Whether you start talking about a teacher in the classroom, you know, I always joke, a teacher may love Star Wars, so they put all the Star Wars stuff in their room, or, you know, I love Hello Kitty. So, you know, it's their space. And if the kids see you in the space, but they don't see themselves in the space, what's going to make them gravitate to go there? So you really have to put your students first in those spaces. And then I even argue then the parents and then the staff, and then you can put your own little piece in there. But you know, your space has to really reflect them, because that's going to make them want to go there. It's easy in elementary when it's a part of their specials rotations or whatever, where they're quote unquote forced to go there, you know, part of their day. They have to spend, you know, a day there, a session there. But when you get to the middle and high school, you don't want it to become the space that they have to go to when it's time for a book report, or, you know, are the computers open over there? You know, that's not what you wanted. You want it to be the space where before school or after school or during their lunch period, where they can't wait to go there. So it's really looking at ways to be creative and kind of brand it where those kids want to be there at any time. I've told my media specialists, we look at it as a marketing opportunity. You know, if McDonald's aren't getting a certain demographic in there, then they change their menu. They figure out what they can do to get the 25 to 30 year olds in there. So look at it, you know, like, which group are you not getting in there? You can take anecdotal information, but then also just kind of look at your checkouts. Okay, we're not seeing our ninth and 10th graders coming in here and checking out books. You can pull that stuff through Destiny. So look at that, and then try to then ask questions of those kids. Don't make assumptions of why they're not coming in there. Ask those kids, you know, work with your ELA teachers and say, hey, do you mind me pushing out a survey doing the bell ringer time in your class period of your kids? I just want to get some quick feedback, because it's easy to survey the kids that are coming. Let's survey the kids that aren't coming, because those are the kids that we want to get in there.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that, because I always go back to the kids, right? Like, yeah, we're creating these spaces for our kids and for their community and trying to build that community with them. And that's the thing I think that's been kind of difficult and has been different for us, because we have to think about how we can still cultivate that community. Yeah. You know, we might be online or blended, and that's kind of, it's challenging, you know, and I find I love challenges, as most Marines do, but I would love to know, like, are there anything that's like really different? Like, how are you addressing that?
Well, one of the things that we've talked about and try not to shy away from is also all of the social change and challenges that we're seeing there. And, you know, sorry, I can hear my dog in the background. One of the things that we also look at is, you know, we have this social change that's going on, and I challenge my team, okay, after these hashtags are no longer trending and it's not in the public eye, these are still issues that our students are dealing with and coping with. So are we looking at making sure that we have the resources in there that's going to further their knowledge and understanding of those things? We have an election happening in less than 30 days. So do we have the resources out there so our students can learn about the candidates, learn about the issues, and also be able to fact check to their own area, because everything has become so political. Even COVID-19 has become political. And so it's like, facts are facts. And so we want to make sure our students can find facts, because that's one of the things that we do. I mean, whether it's right, left, or center, we want our students to have the information and to make the best decision possible and to challenge ideas and thoughts. And so I think that's the biggest challenge that I've been faced with my team, because everybody's like, oh, I don't want to touch it. I said, guys, just run it through me. I got your back. And so that's one thing that I really try to make, I know my team aware of, that I have their back. And, you know, they just keep me, if you think this may be kind of touchy, let me know. And I got your back on it, because I'm not going to put you out there on an island. I'll step out there. I'll fall on that sword for you. But, you know, don't run and don't shy away from it. That's one thing I can say that I truly appreciate about the Library Media Center and specialists. They really try to push the envelope, you know, that we start talking about whether it's banned books or whatever the case may be. You know, we push those envelopes, and we really want our kids to be exposed to various topics. I know we do a reading bowl. We call it our media fest in our district. And we had one parent, it was one of the books, and it talked about a middle school student that was dealing with sexuality. And they were like, oh my gosh, you know, we need to put a disclaimer. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why do you need to put a disclaimer? I mean, if it didn't talk about that topic and it talked about a heterosexual couple, would you put a disclaimer on that? But no. So we just said, hey, we just need to say that our books will have a wide range of topics and some of the topics that are discussed and in the books, and let the parents then make that decision. But not a disclaimer to say that, ooh, we're talking about this topic. Like, no, this is a regular topic. This is normal. And we need to embrace those. And if the parent doesn't like it, fine. That's the parent's prerogative. But we want to make sure that people are exposed to these things, because this is real. This is the world we live in. And it's our job to give our students exposure, to build that background knowledge, to hopefully tear down some of these implicit biases that they have, you know, provide them those window and mirror opportunities. You know, that's something that's really important to me. And those are those challenges that I think that we can help meet head on by providing those students those mirror and window opportunities as it relates to what we expose them to in our library learning commons.
Yeah, I agree. They're so lucky to have you, because we all need to be advocates, you know, and you're so lucky because you get to work with such great people and you have such a great community. And I think that that's something that as librarians, we try to break down those walls together. And everything that we talk about, you know, if it's listening like to your keynote in August or this conversation or other things that people are doing, we're learning all of this together. And there's so many things that are changing and so many things that we are trying to navigate. And I know for me, I go to school every day and kind of look at the things that we did last year, and we just, you know, really have to do it a lot different. But I think that, again, we're great at challenges. And
I mean, we were talking about, because we do our media festival, which is, you know, Reading Bowl and all these other components, and our team, they were being stressed out, even though I haven't put it on them yet on what we're going to do, just being who they are. They're like, Adam, how's this going to work? I'm stressing out. I was like, calm down, guys, calm down. And so now we're really just looking at reinventing the wheel again. You know, we did it before where we went from a more traditional style where we just had the certain books and it was the same group of kids every year, to now we created other opportunities. The kids could make their own short stories, their own t-shirt design from a character. They could partner with a kid that hadn't read the book before and tell them about it, and the kid could create something for it. So, you know, we were looking at all these various things, and then this go around, we're like, okay, now that we have some of our kids are face-to-face, we have some that's virtual, how can we do these things and still tie this in? So I was like, okay, let's scale it back. You know, instead of doing multiple books, let's just do it like a book club, a traditional book club, but then add our own flair to it. So now we're, you know, let's just say we do Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, you know, let's just say we do that book with our elementary kids or whatever. Now we're going to have like Zoom meetings where then we'll have breakout rooms and this mix of all the kids from across the district. So instead of having their school-based teams, If you hang out on Thursday night, we're going to have our book chat and then do a monthly trivia challenge where we're going to do live trivia over the book and have a big scoreboard and monthly prizes, and they can bank their points for the grand prize at the end. So, you know, all those things we're looking at now, just kind of changing it because we still want our kids to be engaged. And with all this distancing, we still want them to become connected to the art, the books, and also to their peers, and, you know, looking to foster relationships. So, you know, just trying to find those ways to do something different, but still keep our kids connected and find that commonality within literature.
Yeah, I agree. That sounds like fun. I can't wait to, I hope you guys post about that so we can follow what you're going to do. And that's kind of my like philosophy this year is like, as long as we're doing things and we're continuing to make a difference and we're there for our kids, like it doesn't have to look the same. And I tell my library associate all the time that if we don't do everything, it's okay. As long as we're serving our kids and making sure that they need what they have. And I think that that is a huge thing for all of us to remember.
And here's one thing that I really, from my leadership standpoint, and if any leaders are there, of course, we're all leaders, but any superintendents, principals, or whomever are listening to this, you know, we have to make sure that people see the importance of the librarians, because I don't want through these budget cuts and new normal to figure out, oh, this is that position we can cut. Or we can make them also the lunch lady and also the hall monitor and also the wiper down of everything that needs to be disinfected. No, you wouldn't do that to your algebra teacher. You wouldn't do that to your English teacher. And we look at the data and it tells us high performing library media centers have high performing students and test scores. I mean, research tells us that. So why are you going to take that person and reduce their role to this fill in the gap in my building? And so by doing these things and making sure it's front and center, people can see the importance of the media specialist and the library and then your learning commons or whatever you're called in your spaces. So you have to make sure that people are seeing what you're doing and the stuff that you're doing is the right work. So that's really important to put it out there so people can see what's happening in your spaces.
Yeah, that is important to put it out there, right? Like I always say, like, don't feel like modest. Like, this is not your time. Like, shout what and make sure that people know, like, brand your space and your work and make sure that, you know, their kids, that's where they really love that. You know, they love it when we're celebrating like our space and we're celebrating them and their voice. And so I think that that is just so important. And you just got like, you know, thousands of fans by saying that to artists because it is something that is a real concern and it's happening all over the country, especially right now. Brains are being pulled.
I mean, you have to, because I mean, I saw this one thing that was pretty cool. This media center, they started building this virtual collage. They said they're going to build it out on their wall. I'll share the link if I can find it, but they were having families at home post photos reading. So it was like, you know, read with the younger sibling, read with a grandmother or whomever, just share that picture. And then they were making this really cool, like black and white collage of all the people that have been reading books or reading on a tablet during the pandemic. So I'm like, that is so amazing because you still want to show that even though you're not physically in that space, what are you doing at home? And even when we do get to the point where you're doing, whether it's some kind of Uber books or you're dropping them off in the classroom and all those things, you know, share those photos and put that out there, you know, make a TikTok, you know, about how, you know, your books and things of that nature. I mean, you have to go where the people are. If they're on TikTok, share those things on TikTok. I was talking about my library media specialist. We do a media special of the year in our district, just like a teacher of the year. And the hardest thing that they have is writing, answering the questions, because they're like, oh my gosh, I have to talk about myself. It's like, yes, but it's like, you know, seriously. And I'm pretty sure this is the same with all of them. They're like, they felt like they were putting other people down by building themselves up. It's like, no, that's not the case. You have to build up. You have to shout from the mountaintops all this great stuff that you're doing. And because one, the public knows, and when it's time for board members and when it's time for parents to fight for different things, I want them to fight for those positions the same way they fight if you tell the school district you're going to close down middle school sports, you're going to shut down the band. If you told a district in Georgia that you're going to shut down their football team, you would have every parent, every alumni, from the beginning of the district to now showing up, don't you dare shut down my football program. I score 4 touchdowns in 1 game. You know, they're going to hear all that stuff. You know, if you tell somebody you're going to shut down a library media center, those same people should be showing up. Shannon Miller, my librarian, taught me how to a love of books. You know, you need to have that same group. And we're only going to do that if we are our own advocates and we're telling our story to people so they know it's, you know, you better not touch this program.
Yeah, I know. I always tell people, like, you can't ask to be seated at the table. You just have to get there. And a lot of times, you know, we're not invited to those things to be leaders, but it is definitely our time. And we have this great skill set and we have all the things that we need to be able to truly lead within our districts. And I think that's the cool part of what I take away just from always talking to you, Adam, and we could talk all day. I love everything. Yeah, I always walk away feeling like your librarians are so lucky, but also just being inspired myself as a librarian. So we just thank you for your leadership and all of your great things that you do, not just within your district, but for all of us as librarians.
No, and like I said, thank you for having me, because you are the celebrity. You know, you are the one that you've inspired me. I'm like, I got to get you. I was telling my team earlier, I was meeting with you. They were so excited about it. They're like, hey, can you get her to come in and maybe have her work with us for like an hour or something? I was like, I'll talk to her. I'll make it happen. I said, I will get on the books with her. I'm sure she's booked from here to forever, but I'll get her on.
I will make time for all of you. So I can't even wait. And I know that everybody's going to love this. And why don't you tell everyone where to find you online in case they have any questions?
You can find me on Twitter at AskAdam3. Check me out on the website, AskAdam3.com. Also, you can check me out on a podcast with Future Ready Tech Leaders, Undisrupted with Carl Hooker. We wrapped up our first season. I think it went pretty good. We get ready to start our second season. We have some guests lined up, and there's going to be some crazy things. Hopefully, they don't get cut on the production floor, but we have some wild ideas we're planning for this year. You know, hopefully, you know, it'll go over the way we want it to, because it sounds good in our heads. We'll see how it sounds when we all put it together.
I love it. I can't even wait. Yeah. Thank you so much, my friend. And stay safe and tell all of your librarians hi.
All right. Enjoy.
Thank you for joining us for the Future Ready Librarian podcast, Leading from the Library. I would like to also thank our sponsor, Follett Learning, for their amazing continued support.